I'm Tamara.
And I'm Rel.
And this is the Fearful Friends podcast.
Thanks, Em.
Another intro. Well done.
Now, put your headphones on.
Because you're not allowed to listen to any of this.
No.
Hi.
Hey.
What's new?
Okay, this is the part where we talk.
I'll get us rolling.
What's new? Today is the first day of my lease at my new place.
Holla.
Yep.
Sorry, I hate myself. You also told me, you said, I sort of kind of got my keys today. And then you like really confused me because you said that your keys are not actual keys. They're like a pin pad.
Yeah, I didn't have time to meet with my landlord, but it has one of those like smart doorknobs, like a new doorknob where you can just put a pin code in.
That's wild to me. That seems a lot easier to break into than with just normal keys.
I feel like everyone has them.
I have never seen them before or heard of them before. So when you told me that,
my brother
just like,
literally has one on his bedroom door.
Okay, well, that's fucking weird. Sorry. That's really weird. What's he hiding?
Himself.
That's very strange. But that, you know, my little brother, hi, Tyler, if you're listening, used to lock his bedroom door when we all lived together because we would always sneak in and drink his, like, Dunkin' Donuts coffee. He would buy it at Winn-Dixie and then keep it in his room. He had his own little coffee pot.
I love that.
Yeah, it was good. It was good coffee.
I also had to lock my door from my brothers and sisters. Brother and sister? I only have one of each.
One of those siblings is in this room right now, rolling her eyes.
Yes.
It was the only TV in the house. It was the only other TV in the house.
You locked them out of the TV?
I didn't have anything to do.
There was another TV.
But Dad was always watching Sopranos. He was literally always watching Sopranos. Literally always.
I need your opinion. Have you? My doorknob is normal. Like you've seen those before.
No, I think you need a better one.
I've literally been thinking about changing the one in my house to that, like the one where I live now.
Why?
Because keys are annoying, especially y'all are not moms. You don't
somebody like finding out your password or breaking it, like hacking into it, right? Don't lean on technology so much.
I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I know I should lock my doors more often, but...
You don't?
And this automatically locks.
Well, that... I don't like that either. What if you get locked out? Oh, but then you know the pin. I don't like it.
Like, that's the thing. I'm always paranoid. Every time I go to walk the dog, I'm so afraid of locking myself out of the house. And you're like, well, hide a key somewhere. And like, yeah, okay, I've done that. Except for like last time I locked myself out of the house, I went and grabbed that key and brought it inside with me.
And you forgot that key.
I promptly lost it. Don't know where the key is.
I'm too scared to hide a key outside my house.
I hid it in a very good spot.
I there's an owl, like a little owl statue looking thing right outside my front door that is not a hide a key, but it looks like one. And I'm very afraid that somebody's going to like touch all my things looking for the key.
You're afraid someone will touch
your things. Don't touch my owl.
They won't get in though.
So they
no, they won't get in. But they could use the owl to break the window when they get mad that there's not a key under there.
Okay. Well,
or any of the rocks in the rock garden.
Here's the thing. Regardless of the type of lock that you have, if someone wants to get into your house, they're going to get into your house.
That's why we should all buy guns.
Sierra. I do not like this stance. You may leave the pod lab.
I only have a taser.
The likelihood of me locking myself out of the house, though, is way higher. Because I've done it quite a few times. I also lock my husband out of the house all the time.
That's on purpose, I'm sure.
Well, sometimes it's accidental. Mm-hmm. And then I'm laying down in bed and he's knocking on the door and I have to get up.
I almost locked Matt. So the light for our garage is in our kitchen. And like it's always like my habit is to turn off the light, lock the door anytime I come in. And Matt was out there like switching over laundry. And because I don't really trust him with the laundry, I always like hover.
You hutter? How do you hutter?
I just hover over him.
Okay.
And he's just like, I got it. Go inside. So like I went inside, I shut off the light, locked the door. And then like I walked away and I was like, oh fuck. And I'm like running over there like, are you okay?
I only did that because I know you're about to put my pants in the dryer.
Well, thankfully we have that like EV charger and it's got this big green light on it. My God, it lights up the garage like fucking Area 51. I don't know. It's very bright and green.
Yeah. Also, like, every time I come home from anywhere, I have a child's drink, my purse, her backpack, a lunchbox. I got to get the garbage out of my car. My hands are always full. Do you know how difficult it is to take a key? Sometimes I carry something in, okay? To find my key and then unlock that stuff, it's ridiculous.
No.
I think
I do not agree with you on this.
Should just
bugger off.
Be me for, you know, like 2 days. It's difficult.
She is. We are ganging up on you today.
Okay, you
don't carry things too. I carry things.
I always buy groceries I don't need. My hands are always full of things.
And isn't it annoying when you get to your front door and you don't have your key and then you're like,
okay. I do have my key. You know why? I clip it onto my purse so that it's waist level, and then I just have to put my hip next to the door.
That's what I do. Mine's all clipped onto my bag. I never lose it. I'm never without it.
Okay.
Maybe you're an idiot.
Where am I going to clip my key?
Do you have
my John Deere? On my purse.
Yeah, I literally have my purse up here in my arm.
So now I have to take
it. That's not what that's called.
This is a carabiner clip for carabining, carabining. All right. Well, I feel hated.
But we love you. But we think sometimes you're a little lazy. So what's up? What's how's your stuff going?
What stuff? Moving? Like that stuff? My house?
I already know how that's going.
Oh, okay.
Your medicine.
Oh, the Ozempic. I
didn't know if it was a secret. Okay.
I feel like the same.
No I'm adverse about side to, like, effects. Like, I've got people asking, so you'll be the guinea pig.
The only issue I had is, like, you'll only understand this if you've had abdominal surgery, but, like, whenever you have surgery, they fill your abdomen up with, like, CO2. So that they can see what they're doing. And afterwards,
you got to fart out all that air.
You're like filled with that gas, and the pain comes up to your shoulders.
Like a balloon.
Yeah.
They put it in your butt?
No, that's the hole.
You made it seem like they're...
I did. I'm sorry. So you're filled with gas.
No. Like Sunday, I started feeling that, like, pressure, like, right up under my rib cage, and then it started moving up to my shoulder, and it was just so weird, and it lasted through Monday. I had to call out of work on Monday.
Did you go to the urgent care?
No. It was really, really painful pressure, and, like, I couldn't really, like, move around a lot, and
it could have been a heart attack.
But it, like, also would move. Like, if I would lay on one side, it would be over here. If I turn, it would be over here. Like,
oh, that's very weird.
Yeah. And it's, like, I would say it's, like, gas pains, but it's not, like gas pains like I've experienced before, except for when I've had surgery. And they're, like, oh, you're going to feel gas in your shoulder. And you're, like, what?
I'm, like, picturing what that might feel like. And it's very, like...
It's, like, if you have a burp stuck... But, like, times 100. Mm. And, like, also you get, like, I was, like, really, really bloated, even though I hadn't eaten anything.
Yeah.
So it was only, like, 2 days where I had any type of, like, reaction where I was, like, oh, my God, is this worth it? And then this Wednesday, I upped my dose. So I was on the introductory dose for 4 weeks. And then this was my 5th injection, so it's the higher dose. So it's, like, 10 units where I was doing 5 before. And I thought, I'm like, oh, this is where I'm really going to feel it. And yes. I don't. I honestly, I only feel the appetite suppression like a little bit. And I have lost 6 pounds, and they average 1 pound a week. And I weighed myself at 4 weeks. So
are you working out at all?
No. I mean, I'm on my feet for like 9 hours a day. And then I come home.
You gotta work on building like lean muscle.
I'm mom for 2 more hours.
Pick Emily up over and over and over again.
Nah. I walk my dog like an eighth of a mile.
Half a block.
So, Rel, how's your life? I'll be sure to judge you. Let's hear it.
It's fine.
What's new? What's going on? What's the tea? What's the hot goss?
Nothing. I don't have any news.
Oh.
Nothing changes in
my life.
That's
better than me smelling like fish, because when I got to work this morning,
Did somebody slap you with a fish?
I wish. I opened up the door and stepped out, and there was just fish, like 3, maybe 4-inch fish, like 8 of them, right where I was stepping, and like spread around, just dead fish in the parking lot.
Oh, you know how that happens? The rain. Did it... Don't laugh.
It rained fish?
No, it didn't rain fish, but maybe the overflow from like a nearby drainage pond or something.
Maybe. I was thinking that
birds. It was either drop
birds, fish. But they were all like in one area. So I was like, did somebody dump out their bait bucket right
here?
Oh, maybe.
They were all like the exact same fish.
That's the perfect place to do that.
I mean, I thought it was funny. Like, it's like early in the morning, you open up your door and there's just fish there. And so I tell my coworker and he's like, okay. They're so incredibly boring. Like, I'm trying to tell you an interesting story. Like, her coworker.
They probably didn't believe you.
Her coworkers.
Guys, there's fish in the parking lot.
Get drunk and like pee together and turn off the lights on each other.
That's true.
My coworkers are just.
That's weird.
So boring.
I don't know if I would do that with my coworkers.
we have to have fun because it's a stressful.
That's what fair. I'm saying. Why can't we just have fun? Everyone's so fucking incredibly boring.
You work at a bank.
They're bankers. Yeah. Numbers people are not fun.
None of my coworkers know how to count.
Ted Kaczynski. He's not fun.
He was a banker?
No.
Oh.
But he was a
murderer.
Genius, quote unquote.
Wasn't he a murderer?
He was the Unabomber.
Okay, yes.
So, cool. Fish in a parking lot. I mean, like, I always feel like I have, like, I'm going to talk about this on the podcast, and then I forget to write it down.
You sound like my mom.
Can you stop comparing? That's like the third time you've compared me to your mom today. Maybe. I feel old. I literally just made a comment about how low my boobs were. Please stop comparing me to your mom.
I can't.
I'm nothing like her. I'm so cool.
Well, in all fairness, Robin is cool.
She's so cool. I fucking love your mom.
It's not the old thing. It's like the kookiness.
I don't mind being kooky. See, I am kooky.
And Robin's the kook of it all.
I'm ooky kooky.
Yeah.
Okay, stop it.
So you better have a story for me.
I actually do.
Okay.
After my last story, I was like, I want something, like, easy. I want something, you know, just, like...
Really, really...
So chill.
So chill that it's, like, depressing.
So I chose a child murder.
Great.
Because
that's...
Well, we don't know if he was murdered, to be fair. It was a missing child. But, anyways... Also, just I almost like had like a surprise moment, just like you did, you know, like last week where you're like, you I don't remember what I wrote. I do not like.
It works the same way, though. Like when you tell a story, I completely forget about it until I'm editing it. And I'm like, wow,
I never knew any of this.
I remember everything you guys do.
Well,
thank you, Sierra. Our number one fan.
You know how I won a spot here? By listening to everything. I finally made it here.
I got the sweepstakes. Do you guys remember sweepstakes? Do they still do this?
Yeah, remember the Zach and Cody one?
No, but other sweepstakes like Nickelodeon Slime or something.
Hmm. Remember Nickelodeon?
Hell yeah, I do.
Publishers Clearinghouse? Is that real? Clearinghouse?
I
don't know.
I don't know if we qualify because we're like young.
Is it for old people?
Probably.
See, that seems ageist. Just like 55 and older community.
Thank you, Sierra. Let's talk about that. 55 and older communities.
I want to know if your opinion's the same as mine. Good. Keep them away from me. But I want
the old people.
I want the same prices if you're going to give them lower fucking prices.
That's the thing. No. So I can't say this person can't be in my department because he can't lift 50 pounds or walk faster than the speed of a slug. Because that's ageist, but they can have all the affordable housing in this area. They can fucking drive however they want with no repercussions. They get all these luxury perks and they get senior discounts. It's not fucking fair.
They had the time to make the money.
Yeah.
I'm really brand new
Instead, they took the time to screw up the fucking economy. Thank you.
We're all drowning. That is one thing that I did want to talk about.
Drowning old people? Rel.
You know my stance on old people, but...
Wait, have you seen Midsommar?
Yes.
Was that one thing where they just push them off the cliff when they get 72?
Love it.
Throw, what is it, at the stupa or something like that?
We are,
push them off.
We are going to get canceled.
I'll take that big hammer.
Just so everyone knows, we do not condone the death of old people. Like, I know, we're all going to be there one day, but like, are we? At the rate that we're destroying the earth and our bodies with all this garbage that we pump into our fucking bodies every single day.
I'm sure we'll be there.
I won't.
But.
I won't.
Just don't be so flupping and annoying. Flupping annoying. I'm dragging you along with me. I'm so sorry.
Okay. By 55, I want to say it right now, we will have a plot of land. We'll be in the middle of nowhere, living off the land and away from everyone else. So that means we won't be a burden on society.
Okay. All right.
Will there be Amazon Prime there?
Sure. Okay. We'll leave just far enough away from the city, but just close enough to still get deliveries.
Okay, good.
I think that's a good idea.
And I want to grow the carrots.
Good, because I've tried to grow carrots before and they come out to be about an inch long.
I've never done it. I'm very excited. Oh my god, the cutest little babies.
Yeah.
Did you know baby carrots are just big carrots that they like fish?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't it horrible, the food waste in this country?
Oh my god.
Let me just jump on my soapbox right now.
But I still buy baby.
Why?
Because I want a little snack.
Just buy normal carrots.
I do.
It's
I
also different. Buy it is different. I don't know how.
They're not. Yeah, because they peel them for you.
I know. They taste different. I don't know what it is.
It also feels like I'm biting fingers.
No, they all taste like sweet nothing. They taste like carrots.
See, you're being Robin again.
They're fine.
I
am being attacked. The roles are reversed. All right. Today, we're talking about the disappearance of 9-year-old Walter Collins.
Bum, bum, bum.
This is an oldie.
9-year-old.
I only just said his name.
I have a feeling I do.
You probably do.
I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Because apparently there was a movie based on this, starring Angelina Jolie and some other people that I don't remember. I also didn't watch the movie. Changeling is the name of the movie, yes. I think.
Okay, I'm ready for this. I have never heard this whole story, but and I've never watched the movie, but I know what it's about. I'm ready.
Well, I hate everyone in this room.
Well, no, I'm ready. I haven't heard the whole story.
I probably don't have the whole story because I was trying not to like get into the ick. I didn't want to step in the ick because I've been stepping in the ick in all my other stories. So okay. I was just like, ickless. Okay, so. Walter lived with his mom in the Lincoln Heights neighborhood of Los Angeles. On the afternoon of March 10th, 1928, Walter asked his mother, Christine Collins, for some money to go see a movie. So she hands him some change and sends him on his way. Already a question. If you ask how much money, I got conflicting answers. 10 cents? 25 cents.
What?
I know.
So he's 9.
He's 9.
Okay.
He's... You would be... flabbergasted at the things that children are able to do in this time period. We'll get later on into the life of a 12-year-old, and I'm just like, this motherfucker works more than I do. So yeah, he's off to the movies. Goodbye, possibly forever. That's horrible. Yeah, he vanishes after that. Of course, at first, the police think the boy just ran away, but Christine assures them that he would never just run off like that. He's not that kind of kid. So she already had a bad feeling about the fate of her son, especially since the city was still reeling from a kidnapping from just 3 months earlier, where 12-year-old Marion Parker was taken for ransom by a man named William the Fox Hickman, who shoved her dismembered body from his car just before being captured. The community rallied behind Christine and sent in countless tips, all of which led to dead ends. Police were questioning anyone they could, neighbors, randos on the street, even local gang members. which is like in the 1920s, were like the Crips a thing?
I think I don't know.
When they say like gang members, it's like the mob.
This is why
I'm picturing like a cigar in the mouth.
This is why I make you record video.
The mob, eh?
You're having one of those strokes where your face half goes numb. Bell's palsy. That's what it was.
Them. They question them. So, one tip came from a neighbor that claimed that she saw Walter in the car of two, quote, foreign-looking people begging to be released. Another sighting claimed that he was spotted dead in the back seat of a car, wrapped in newspaper all the way up to his neck.
Right?
You wouldn't grab him from the car or, like, find the driver of the... Like, what? Very weird. So, Walter's father, who was serving a prison sentence for robbery at the time, he believed that his son was actually kidnapped by, like, some former inmates that had targeted his son out of revenge. Because I guess he was, like, working for, like, the warden or something as, like, a...
Insider.
Like a tattletale.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, kind of. But then, you know, there was no proof of that either. So another dead end. Over a month passed. The Lincoln Park Lake was searched. The whole northeastern part of the city was canvassed. And still there was no trace of Walter. Christine held on to hope that one day her son would be found, though. So 5 months after his disappearance, in August of 1928, a boy claiming to be Walter was picked up by the police in DeKalb, Illinois.
Okay.
Why is that so weird? I hate DeKalb?
That. DeKalb?
DeKalb? DeKalb? Whatever. Photos and letters were sent back and forth from the police to Christine, but she wasn't convinced that this was her missing son. So she ended up shelling out $70 out of pocket to transport him to Los Angeles so that they could see each other face to face. Like, you know. What did she have to lose at this point?
Mm-hmm.
When he arrived, she knew immediately, although the boy resembled her son, it just wasn't him. So when she tried to tell the LAPD that a mistake had been made, they fucking gaslit her.
So this is only how many months after he went missing?
This is 5 months after he went missing.
Okay. And he's nine. He's a 9-year-old for
boy.
Sure. She knows this is not
her
son.
Yeah.
This is stupid.
And like, if you look at pictures, like, he resembled him in the sense that they both look that age and they both have brown hair, but like their facial structures are totally different and they talked different. So yeah, she knew it wasn't him. She took him to the cops and they like laughed in her face. The police were under so much pressure to solve the case that they just completely disregarded her and they told her to take him home and quote unquote, try the boy out.
I'm confused.
Which part? We need to get her a microphone.
Yeah.
Why did she have to pay $70? Isn't this someone else's?
Train fare costs money, Sierra.
But wouldn't he be like in the care of like the government at that point to transport him? And then it's just
the police aren't going to pay to transport him out there.
Why? If they're trying to get rid of him.
I don't know.
It just does not seem like her fault, her problem. Take this kid.
It wasn't, but the LAPD made it her problem. Because if there's anything we've learned in modern true crime, it's that the LAPD didn't stack up very well back then. Or still doesn't, really. So, yeah, they basically told her that he only seemed different because of how long he'd been gone and, like, the trauma that he'd been through must have changed him.
Yeah. Are they humans? Have they ever...
They're men.
Oh, my God. Story of that kid who got lost.
Yes, okay,
place.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
What?
That little boy, he was like 2 years old and his name's like Riley.
Yeah.
And he was with his family like in, I don't know if they were in the woods or if he left from his house, but he went missing and they found him like days later in the woods and he had this like horrible traumatized stare that they called like the 1,000-yard stare. It is so, so creepy, the picture.
Yeah, he looks way different.
And it was, like, days, and he was still wearing the same pajamas, but they weren't that dirty, and he had been, like...
He was raised by the wolves.
But it was,
for
like...
3 days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't assimilate that fast.
Did you ever read that story in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark? About that little wolf girl?
No, I did not read that one.
She was like a feral child and she was raised by wolves. She was so spooky ooky.
That reminds me of like Mama, like those feral kids.
That was a good movie.
That was like 2010 scary movie like that. Insidious.
I miss those days. Okay. Christine was defeated. She was exhausted and emotionally drained. She wanted her son back more than anything. Facing pressure from not only the police, but now the public, Christine agreed to take the boy home. In the meantime, police start questioning the boy because they want to know, you know, who was his abductor? How did he get to Illinois in the first place? And how did he ultimately get away from the abductor? And the kid was giving them nothing. Everyone said it was like he was keeping a secret. So Christine knew this wasn't her son. And she knew if she just gave up and kept this kid like everyone wanted her to, that no one would be out there looking for the real Walter. So after 3 weeks of having the boy, she decided enough was enough and she had to get proof, you know, that he was an imposter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fucking sad that she had to do that. Like a mother knows, you know your child. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
When she says that he is an imposter, so she thinks that this kid is tricking her and not like this kid's and something horrible has happened to this kid and you know, I don't want to give them up because.
I mean, I don't know if she like blamed the kid, but either way, it's not her son. So you're a fake and I'm going to find out who you are.
Okay.
So she decided dental records. That's the best way of doing it. It's how we identify bodies. Why wouldn't this work on a living person? So she went to Walter's dentist because he had like extensive like fillings and stuff like that done. And boom, you know, he had the fillings. Fake Walter. He had never had any dental work done in his life. That's proof right there. So.
The dentist was wrong. Mm-mm.
So she takes the documents. She heads to the police station to meet with Captain J.J. Jones of the LAPD.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a look at the dental records. He told Christine that she was just trying to humiliate the department. He actually said to her face, quote, "What are you trying to do? Make fools out of us all? Or are you just trying to shirk your duty as a mother and have the state provide for your son? You are the most cruel-hearted woman I've ever known. You are a fool." Unquote.
First of all, if she didn't want to deal with her son, she wouldn't have gone looking for him after he went missing.
Yeah.
Hello?
God. And the most cruel-hearted mother that you've ever known is pouring through dental records to prove that her son is still out there somewhere and nobody's looking for him anymore because you've just, like, replaced him with some random kid that you found.
If she was a bad mom, she wouldn't have taken him to the dentist.
Thank you. Walter had extensive dental work done.
You know what that is?
I don't have dental work done. I mean, my parents are good parents. They took me to a dentist when I was a kid, but whatever.
But you're not a good mom to yourself.
I'm not a good grown-up.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so what do you think happens next? It's 1928. She's a hysterical woman.
Does she get put into a mental institution?
Jones has Christine committed to the psychopathic ward of the LA County General Hospital for evaluation under Code 12 internment, which is basically intended to commit anyone that is deemed difficult or inconvenient to society.
Mm. Man, I would have been locked.
I know, all of us would have been. I'm extremely difficult.
I am
an inconvenience.
I'm so sorry, I'm always in the way.
I am in the way.
See me at Aldi's. I'm always causing problems.
She's going backwards, bitch. This is a
one-way
street.
I just want to look and see if they have joggers for women. They always have men's joggers and men's sweatpants. They never have anything for chicks. They're always gone and they're always picked over.
You can wear a small men's.
When I was at Aldi's the other day.
You have a butt like a man.
How dare you? I think they're gonna fight.
That was really hurtful. I'm very self-conscious of my butt.
You know what? I didn't take a hard look at it, but I'm sure it's great.
It's not. It's very flat. It is like a man's butt.
Y'all attacked me first, okay?
I saw this thing on TikTok.
Not the same.
This girl with a flat butt, and she's like, doesn't matter, it looks the same, bent over.
It doesn't.
Exactly.
It doesn't. It's all bone. Aldi. I forgot I was going to say. When I was at Aldi's, I was looking for said joggers that I saw on their flyer, mm-hmm. which they were out of. Mm-hmm. I was very annoyed by it.
You have to get there. They looked very on a Wednesday. I know. Early.
Matt told me. He goes, it's Sunday. And I'm like, they only posted the ad Wednesday. And he goes, it's been like 4 days.
Yeah.
Or 5 days. Mm-hmm. However many that is from Wednesday.
No one's fact checking here.
They're joggers. Who's buying joggers at Aldi's? Apparently everyone.
Yeah, I would buy them.
They looked really comfy. Anyways, so some lady pushes like the cart out of the way and just like takes her shoes off and starts trying on all these rain boots.
I hate people. That's disgusting. And I'm like,
you're at a grocery store. What the fuck are you doing? Then she's like rifling through them like it's a fucking discount bin. They're selling for 99 cents. Like, she's... Okay. I hate Aldi for so many reasons. I only go there for really cheap cheese. And specifically, I wanted to look for some puzzles that they also had that they were also out of.
Okay, I have a quick question. Are you 100 years old?
I didn't want the puzzles. They had a puzzle table.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. It was so cheap.
I am interested.
It was gone. Along with the joggers. Okay. Back to the story. Calming down. So, Christine would go on to spend 10 days in the hospital, basically imprisoned, where she was treated inhumanely and forced different treatments to bring her to her senses. She was only released when the truth of the imposter finally couldn't be ignored anymore. The boy finally admitted that he'd lied. He finally came clean when a handwriting expert analyzed his writing style and noted the differences between his and the real Walter's. I have something to say about this.
Okay.
Dental records.
I know. That was weird.
Are used to identify bodies. Like, you can take that to court.
Mm-hmm.
Handwriting analysis wasn't even good enough for the JonBenet Ramsey case. I'm sorry, I really have to burp. It's fucking me up. I said it like Catherine O'Hara. JonBenet Ramsey.
I've been rewatching Schitt's Creek.
I did that like last month. But bitch, please, what?
It seems like they didn't want to.
They're gonna believe a boy. Right.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, because it's a man that came with that, with the proof.
It's handwriting analysis.
I know, but it was a man.
It's so much less legitimate than bones in your mouth. But whatever. Anyways, fake Walter's real name is Arthur Hutchins Jr. Here's what I'm saying about 12-year-olds.
Oh my God.
In the day.
I helped a client today whose name was Arthur Hutchins.
Oh my God.
The only reason I remember that is because we have a Hutchison Island here.
He was 12 in 1928.
No.
No, he would have.
He's dead.
Yeah, okay. Well, people are living longer these days.
Did he seem like he was 112-ish?
Did he talk like this?
Sunny boy.
Did he have mommy issues?
I didn't.
Did he just want to be on the big screen?
No, he was like in his 70s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not the right offer.
Still weird quinky-dink.
Really weird.
Okay, so he was a 12-year-old originally from Iowa who ran away from home after his mother died, and he didn't like the situation with his dad and his evil stepmother. So when the boy was asked why he would impersonate the missing child, he said that he'd been hitchhiking around the country, working odd jobs here and there. A 12-year-old. A 12-year-old.
Imagine going hitchhiking right now as you're in a
I vessel. Wouldn't. I would. I don't even like getting in an Uber because I'm like, are you going to murder me?
You're probably going to murder me.
Yeah, so, you know, while he's hitchhiking around the country, working odd jobs, he stopped in at a roadside cafe in Illinois. And while he was there, someone noticed him and told him how much he resembled the missing boy in Los Angeles, whose face was all over papers nationwide. And he was like, this is it. This is my chance to make it big in LA.
I lived in LA.
So, yeah. And he was just like, I'm going to go to LA. I'm going to be in the movies. I'm going to meet my favorite actors. This is amazing. So, yeah, that's when he decided to turn himself into police. He assumed Walter's identity, started communicating with the mom. It's fucking wild, man. 12-year-olds. So, Christine gets released from the hospital after all this came to light. And Mama files a false imprisonment lawsuit against the city, which she won after 2 years, rightfully so. Captain Jones was ordered to pay $10,800 to Christine. In today's money, that would be a skosh under $200,000.
Oh, my God.
Where's my kid?
Thank you, Sierra. Where's my kid?
Keep your $200,000. I need a child.
Well, so she was planning to use that money to fund the search for her son, but Jones never paid. Ever. And he was also never disciplined for the way he treated Christine. Shocker. But she never let up on him. Every couple years, she would summon this pathetic ass back to court to have him explain why he'd never paid. And then he'd complain to the judge about being broke. And then the court would just tack on more and more interest, which, you know, she'd never see any of the money at the end of the day. But I'm sure it was just satisfying to inconvenience him in some way.
Garnish his wages.
Right? He works for the government.
It'd be really easy.
Thank you. I don't know.
Well,
why weren't we there?
I hope he had to file bankruptcy. And
he did not. Like, he got reinstated to the LAPD shortly after.
It's not like they had credit back then.
Isn't that crazy?
I think they did. Even the Flintstones had a charge card. Remember? Charge
it! I mean, like, your credit score.
The Flintstones had a credit card?
They did. Remember? Betty and what's her face went into that one store. Yeah. They went into that one store and they handed this little piece of rock. Slate.
I love the Flintstones.
I do too. Charge it! You guys don't remember that?
No, but I just remember really liking the movie with
the guy from Roseanne.
Yeah.
Fred.
Yeah, that was
Durst.
Nope. Hold on.
Flintstone.
John Goodman.
Yeah. Yep.
Sorry. I was going to get there. Okay, so Christine likes inconveniencing JJ.
I hope that every time he went to go get a piece of cheese, it was never sealed, and then the air made it all hard, and he couldn't enjoy his cheese.
That is a slight inconvenience. I think he deserves a little bit more than that.
I hope he had hangnails on all of his fingers forever.
Torn cuticles.
Yeah.
I hope that whenever he walked barefoot, he got, like, a dog hair splinter in his foot, and then it was, like, really hard to see it, plus he, like, didn't stretch enough, so he couldn't, like, get his foot up and, like, examine it, and, like, he could never find tweezers, because they're so little, and they kept getting lost.
I hope he got food poisoning.
We could just make a whole podcast about this.
I hope he got food poisoning, and it came out so violently out of every single hole that he died.
That's not how he died.
That's a pretty big inconvenience.
That is a pretty big... Okay.
I hope that every time he was trying to fall asleep, his nose did that little whistle thing, and he, like, trying to, like, stop it, and, like, nothing he did made it better, and he would just lay there and hear the...
Episode title, The Inconvenient Noise Whistle. Nose whistle. Whatever. Any more?
No, can you
I can't think of anything. I'm just not good like that. I'm not good in improver.
I hope
maybe when he opens his fridge, he whacks his knee on the door.
Or it doesn't close all the way and all his food goes bad.
Or every time he opens the fridge, it just smells really bad. And he can never get that disgusting butt foot cheese smell out of his refrigerator.
Dry cheese smell.
I hope he smells like farts constantly.
Yeah. He probably already does.
No matter how much he showers, and then no one will love him and he'll die alone.
It got really dark. Okay, that was the last one for real.
Okay.
I hope.
I was like waiting for one more. Okay. Christine wouldn't have to wait long before the next break in Walter's case. In September of 1928, a gruesome discovery was being made on a ranch just 50 miles outside of Los Angeles. Starting back in 1926, a man named Gordon Stewart Northcott began kidnapping young boys, raping them, bludgeoning them to death with an axe, and disposing of the bodies on his property. All with the help of his doting mother, Sarah Louise.
Sarah Sarah.
Enough from the peanut gallery. whom he had an incestuous relationship
with. Oh,
God. These crimes would go on to be called the Wineville Chicken Coop Murders. You both said you recognize this boy, and yet
I recognize the story.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You've never heard the chicken coop murders?
Really... No.
I actually thought about like making this a part one, and then making a part two going into the murders, and then I was like, that's too dark, Raul.
No, Raul.
What is it? No, it's too dark. I also said I was going to be doing a light, easy, breezy episode.
Yeah.
This is quite Cover Girl.
Wow. That was a really good joke.
Stupid. I loved it.
Thanks. I am a thousand.
Okay.
The mother-son duo were arrested when Northcott's cousin turned him in for kidnapping her younger brother and abusing him. When detectives started investigating the ranch, right off the bat, they discovered scattered bone fragments, axes encrusted with blood and human hair, and belongings from several missing boys in the area. At the time, Northcott verbally admitted that he'd kidnapped five boys, including Walter Collins, raped them, killed them, and then used quicklime to dissolve their bodies. Later, when it came time for him to make an official written confession, he only admitted to killing one boy, Alvin Garcia, back in February of 1928.
Those other bones just happened to be there.
Right.
Yeah, that was just...
He's like, my mom did it. So then his mother, Sarah, came forward with her own story. She told authorities that she was actually the one to kill Walter Collins. She said that she dealt him a fatal blow with an axe and then buried him next to the chicken coop. She ended up being sentenced to life in prison for his murder and would later flip-flop all over the damn place and keep changing her story about Walter.
I'm going to say something. I feel like Sarah might have a mental illness.
I feel like they both might.
This is just a guess. She seems a little off.
It's a pretty good guess. You should be on the show. In February of 1929... why is his name so hard to say? Gordon Stewart Northcott.
Stewart.
Well, that's how it's spelled. It's Stewart. So Stewart.
That's so stupid.
He was found guilty of the murders of three boys, and he was sentenced to death. And he was hanged for those murders on October 2nd, 1930. So, Mama got life in prison, so like... I mean, like, she kept flip-flopping on the story, but we'll never really know, like, what happened with Walter there. But the LAPD got their wish, and they got the missing case of Walter Collins all buttoned up and closed. But Christine never believed, still doesn't, well, I mean, she's since passed on.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, she never believed or accepted that her son was a victim in the Wineville chicken coop murders. The bone fragments and personal effects that were found at the ranch were traced back to other boys, but not Walter. And, I mean, with the way that the LAPD pushed some random boy at her and tried to convince her that he was hers, how could she be sure that they weren't just trying to close the case just because a convenient, you know, murderer of boys was
So what right was there. Their evidence that that her son was there?
He admitted.
The mom admitted?
Gordon verbally admitted that Walter Collins was one of the boys that he murdered. But then he wouldn't put it in his official statement.
Okay.
Then the mom said that she was the one to murder Walter Collins in an official statement. And she actually got sentenced for his murder and only his murder. But his body was never found. No personal effects of his were ever linked to the property and no bone fragments or anything like that. So literally no evidence besides her saying she did it. And they're known flip-floppers. So, yeah. So,
but it's also like, why?
I think that it was convenient because a, like, boy murderer just happened to be active in the area and police needed to close this case. So
but
they
why
were
would
like,
the mom admit to only that one?
I don't understand why she got involved at all.
Well, she, I mean, she... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. No, maybe I should make a part two and go into the chicken coop murders.
Because it's not like she was like, oh, I'm old. I'm going to take the fall for this. So he doesn't get killed. Nothing happens to my son. He still got sentenced
for three. He still got hung for three murders. I don't know. What do we think?
I think
should
that
I
they,
dive in for part maybe, two?
Maybe. Or maybe just an update on that.
Or like, you know how sometimes they just like try to get the famous murders in their name? Like they try to admit to like,
well, that's the other
murders.
Thing. It could be just like an attention thing.
Yeah. Like how
and
many
and they're obviously like mentally ill and we'll come to find out, but one of the people that Gordon was actually sentenced to death for his murder wasn't dead.
What? Maybe you do need to do a part
spoiler.
Two.
Spoiler. It's later on in my notes.
Okay.
Oh. I'll keep reading. So, yeah. There was no forensic evidence or anything tying Walter to the crime scene. Police could have just been using this as a convenient way to close up Walter's case because of all the public pressure on them. Walter's mom even went so far as to visit Northcott on death row. She was actually the first woman in 30 years that was permitted to do so, which is like kind of cool. It's International Women's Day. Whoa.
Let's not celebrate Sarah.
No, I'm not celebrating Sarah. I'm celebrating Christine.
Oh, cool. She's
out there fighting for her son.
Sarah, fuck you.
Fuck Sarah. She fucked her son. Yeah. That's gross. So.
Go outside, Sarah.
Just before his execution, he'd sent Christine a telegram saying that he'd lied about denying that Walter was one of his victims. So he flip-flopped again. And he's like, I'll tell you everything, but we have to do this in person. So she made the trip to San Quentin the day before his execution. She sits down with him face-to-face, and he's like, I don't want to see you. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm innocent. Mm-hmm. So fucking waste of the time. Like, fuck that dude. Christine got one last glimmer of hope 5 years after Northcott's execution when it turned out that one of the boys that he was accused of killing was alive and well. And because of this turn of events, she never gave up hope that her son was still alive out there somewhere. And she spent the rest of her life searching for him. She passed away in December of 1964 at the age of 75, never having found her missing child. So, while someone did technically get convicted of Walter's murder and the case is closed, I think I'm going to have to side with Christine on this one.
What a gross feeling, because, like, she was probably glad.
Walter?
Yeah, but also just so upset that she will never get the answer.
Yeah, you'll never know. And, like, the fact that, like, I don't know, the one person that could possibly know, like, did he actually do it? You know, he was executed, and it's just annoying.
For me, it's like, I feel like there has to be some involvement if the mom admitted to just that one.
You think she actually did it?
If she was, like, admitting, or she was already in trouble, and they already had, like, proof that she did this, and she admitted it, I would kind of be like, I don't know, but, like, that was the only one.
Mm.
Maybe she was trying to get ahead of it before they found something. She's like, I did it, it was me.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know, that's really strange. Maybe I'll dive into it on the next one.
Okay.
So the next one probably won't be easy breezy beautiful, but it'll be in California.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
CoverGirl is easy breezy beautiful.
Oh.
She's not born with it.
Maybelline is, yeah. She's not born with it. Wait, that's a horrible thing to say. Is that really their slogan?
But it's true.
She's not born with it.
She's not
Maybelline.
Born with it. It's Maybelline.
That's
so,
not,
like,
that's
she's
not
ugly. She's only cute because she
maybe
put our makeup on.
It's maybe she's born
oh,
with it.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's maybe.
It's
okay.
Like, you're not sure it looks
I
so
also cool. Don't like that.
Well, guess what? My eyebrows are blonde. Okay?
So are mine.
Okay, my hair is not blonde.
That's true.
All right.
Okay.
That was a great distraction.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
It seemed really depressing.
I think we're going to start researching and diving into Stephanie Wasilishin's case soon. Her daughter, Nikki, had reached out to us asking us to cover her mom's case. So I think me and you need to start doing some research. And so while we're doing that, I think our cases can be on the lighter side.
I have a question, and maybe you guys can implement this more. If somebody is put on like a death sentence of some sort, Can you please find out what their meal was? Because that's always the question in my mind. What's their last meal?
Why?
I don't know. Because I want to know what they picked for their last meal. What would you pick?
My last meal. Everything. And that way, they can never put me to death.
No, they won't.
Because I'll just be still eating everything.
There's like a $12 maximum price for it.
$12?
Yeah.
You can't get anything good for $12 anymore.
I would ask for like some southern home cooked macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Chicken tenders. But mac and cheese.
Mashed potatoes.
Cheesecake.
Mm.
Vape pen?
Bucket Did you of mash- say vape pen?
Yeah, it's dinner. Vape pen, bucket of mashed potatoes, Dr. Pepper. Yum.
I don't like that.
Get into it.
I want a tres leches cake, but I want it to be, like, cold.
Aren't all tres leches cakes cold?
Okay, we'll start working on that case.
Yep. I don't know why I swigged.
Goodness.
Because I'm working on it.
Well, I'm working I on have been working on it. That's why my last episode was like a listicle.
I just thought you ran out of time.
That too.
All right.
But I'm excited to
I am too.
Cover that for her. I'm very honored.
I'm nervous. I hope I do it justice.
Yeah.
I hope we do it justice.
I think that's your block is like you're being nervous.
I am.
All right. Well, friends, thank you so much for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. Send your crazy stories to
fearfulfriendspodcast@gmail.com.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Bye.